KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
KJAN News is brought to you by Jeff Behrens of Stifel Investments. And at 7:06, we have fair skies and 25 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high of 51. Winds southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour, partly cloudy tonight, low of 32. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. Firefighters from Elkhorn, Kimbleton, and Marnie were dispatched Thursday night to a small shed fire located north of Interstate 80 at 144 Xenia Road. The call went out around 5:48 p.m. The structure was fully engulfed when firefighters arrived. According to Josh Krause with the Marnie Fire Department, the shed was nearly destroyed by the time the first crews arrived on the scene. A shed to the south of the burned building was beginning to show signs of smoke, but crews were able to protect it from further damage. Krause said also the blaze apparently started with a brush pile nearby north of the shed, which spread to the trees. Atlantic Fire had been called to bring a tanker truck to the scene, but were told to disregard not long after because Marnie's unit was on the scene. There were no injuries reported. Officials at the Yale Fire Department reports crews from Yale and other nine other area fire departments responded at around 6:30 p.m. Thursday to a house fire in Jamaica. According to a Yale volunteer fire department social media post, the house was fully engulfed in flames when the crews first arrived. Those same crews quickly went to work getting everything set up for the water supply. Among the area fire departments responding to the call for mutual aid was, of course, the Yale Fire Department, Jamaica Fire, Bagley Fire Department, Perry, Dawson, Beard, Panora, Guthrie Center, Jefferson, and Grand Junction fire departments. Fire officials say our thoughts and prayers are with the family, and we're thankful for all the help we received from the surrounding departments. Additional information concerning that blaze was not immediately available. No injuries were reported following a collision on Highway 34 southwest of Creston Thursday afternoon. According to the Union County Sheriff's Office, a 2011 Chrysler 300C driven by 89-year-old Tommy Stoner of Apton and a 2007 Jeep Grand Cherokee driven by 33-year-old Maggie Stewart of Creston were both eastbound on Highway 34 at around 2:54 p.m. near mile marker 86. When Stewart was following too close and failed to pay attention to the speed of the Chrysler, which was ahead of her, the SUV struck the rear of the car, causing a total of $6,000 damage. Both drivers pulled off onto the south shoulder of the road following the crash. There were no citations issued. Elsewhere in the news, many Iowa companies are coping with population, or communities that is, are coping with population losses. But a southwest Iowa town that was devastated by flooding in 2019 isn't giving up hope. Pacific Junction had fewer than 500 people before the floods, but just 84 people live there now. City Clerk Karina Nepple says after the flood, some people had no option but to leave, and she says there's been a dramatic change, especially as homes are torn down. She says you can see your neighbor's house is going down, and they're never coming back. The town, though, is working to buy back and demolish more than 130 flood-damaged homes. Many of those lots will become green space, but Nepple says state funding we'll let them resell lots to be built on in the future. Pacific Junction Mayor Andy Young says the flood caused destruction like the town's never seen before. He said that they had between 9 to 11 feet of water, depending what part of town you were in. The mayor says, is a third-generation resident of Pacific Junction and has stayed in town and rebuilt, but he reminisced about what it was like before the flood. He said that was when the kids could go out and ride their bikes and everybody looked after everybody's kids for the most part. He said it was small-town Iowa where everybody kind of helped with watching the kids and everything else. Young says his vision for the future is to bring a few businesses to town. He'd also like to sell some vacant lots so people can build on them and the town can grow. Nepple and Young made their comments on Iowa Public Radio's program Talk of Iowa. Well, Ag Secretary Mike Nagy from Iowa says he's hearing good things as the harvest is almost done.
They're telling me that they are thrilled with the yields and the grain quality, given what they thought could be the case with all the drought that we had across the state. We really had historic levels of drought this year, and so folks are seeing yields that are much better than we had expected as we were coming through the summer months.
Ag says farmers are also thankful for replenishing fall rains.
We got rain late in the season, and even as we got into fall, we started to get some rain, and which is a double-edged sword. We desperately needed the moisture, and yet if you were still working on harvest, of course, that delays things some, but we've seen a dramatic improvement.
And he says there will be less worrying about soil moisture as we head into next spring.
And we've still got some areas that have rain deficits of 6+ inches, but we've had exactly the kind of fall that we needed. Good moisture coming. It's soaking in. The ground is not frozen yet, so it's absorbing into the soil profile, and that's good news.
Supply chain issues were, of course, a concern during the harvest, and they're not over yet.
Logistics continues to be a great challenge in ag, and certainly that's, again, getting inputs to the farm, but then also getting our harvested grain off of the farm. And farmers have a mix of things. Most will have some ability to haul their own grain, but they do rely on co-ops and trucking companies and ag retail to help them out and fill the gap as well. So finding drivers, we know, has been a challenge for folks this year.
And Secretary Nag says there's a lot of good to reflect on as we begin to wind down the Thanksgiving holiday.
It's a time to be thankful. We've had a very good year, all things considered, from a weather standpoint, and the markets are strong. But with that has come an increase in input costs. And so as you look at the 22 growing season, farmers are looking at the price of fertilizer, the price of the crop protection tools they need, and seed and equipment. All of those things are on the rise. And, of course, with the issues around logistics and transportation, can you get the things that you need?
The soybean harvest is completed, and the corn harvest has less than 5% of the crop still in the fields. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News. KJAN News brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stifel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500.